is chapter 15 in Titus.
We're hearing back very much on the last two chapters of this canto.
Instructions for grihasthas. Although in this chapter there are also instructions for sannyasis. So we'll continue. Transcendentalists who are advanced in knowledge compare the body, which is made by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to a chariot. The senses are like the horses, the mind, the master of the senses, is like the reins. The objects of the senses are the destinations. Intelligence is the chariot driver. And consciousness, which spreads throughout the body, is the cause of bondage in this material world. Siddhi Rajabhu, I'd like to read the first part.
For a vivid person, the objects to be applied. The body, the mind, and the senses, which are engaged in sense, are the cause of the birth, death, old age, and senses. But for one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge, the same body, senses, and mind are the cause of the birth. This is confirmed in the Katham Tradition 1.3.3.4.9 as follows. Atman Bhadiram Indi. Shariram Bhatam Yavasya Bhutin Tu Sarathim Vini Manam Tadyaha Yavasya Indriyani Gayan Aham Vishayam Stesu Gochara Sodhana Param Atmati Tad Vishma Paramam Pada. The soul is the occupant of the chariot of the body. Of it, the driver is the intelligence. The mind is the determination to reach the destination. The senses are the forces, and the sense objects are also included in the activity. Thus one can reach the destination, Vishnu, who is Param Pada, the supreme goal of life. In conditioned life, the consciousness of the body is the cause of the bondage. But the same consciousness when transformed into Krishna consciousness becomes the cause of one's becoming more active body.
So what are the points in the first paragraph? So Rupa Goswami has quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevana Bhakti Uchita. So the way to become purified in Grihastha Ashram is one has to use the senses and the body and all of one's facilities in the service of Krishna. So there's a very famous analogy, and we often hear about this analogy, that the chariot is like the body, the senses are like the horses, the mind is like the reins, the intelligence is the driver, the soul is the passenger within the chariot. So this is where it is coming from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. So everything in our, which is given to us by Krishna, our body, our mind, our senses, our intelligence, everything must be used in the service of Krishna. In this way, you will purify your consciousness. You will uplift yourself. It is called Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. Anything which cannot be used in the service of Krishna, we reject that. Anything that can be used in the service of Krishna, we accept that. So our body, our mind, our senses, everything. Grihastha Ashram means expansion. There are deha pacha kalatradishu. You have your body, your wife, your husband, your children, and then so many possessions. Adishu means things which are related. So it is a complicated situation. But all of these things can be a source of upliftment if they're used in the service of Krishna. If you're not using your material possessions, including your body and your mind and your intelligence, in the service of Krishna, you simply stay within the material world. So the whole point of Grihastha life is to attain liberation. It is an ashram. Ashram means we're meant to be making spiritual advancement. That is the point. The purpose of Grihastha life is not to enjoy the senses, because you can't enjoy them anyway. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't really enjoy your senses in the material world. So the point of our existence is to fully engaged in the service of Krishna. So this is what is being told in the first part of this paragraph. Any points? Is that where they got it from? Yeah, it says consciousness is the citta. Citta is like the 24th element. If you go back to the third canto and study the teachings of Kapiladeva, he describes that there are 24 material elements and the 24th is the citta. Citta means consciousness.
Yes, but in the context of Kapiladeva, what is
compared to? It's like the... Does it say specifically or is it like... And consciousness, which is spread throughout the body, is the cause of the bondage in this material world. It's not connected to the analogy of the chariot. But you can say it's part of the soul is within the chariot. The intelligence is the driver. So it doesn't specifically say what the citta is. Any other points? Okay, so we'll read the third paragraph. Chaitanya Prabhu, can you read the third paragraph?
The advice of experienced transcendental is therefore is that the body be fully engaged for
the one before.
It is said therefore, Akhanam Gatinam, Vidhi Sariram Gatam Kevacha. The body is just like a chariot or car in which one may go anywhere. One may drive well, or else one may drive whimsically, in which case it is quite possible that he may have an accident and fall into a ditch. In other words, if one takes directions from an experienced spiritual master, one can go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, one may return into the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, Krishna personally advises Ashradhana Purusa Dharmashyasya Tarantara Aparaya Mam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. Bhagavad Gita 9.3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna personally gives instructions on how one can return home back to Godhead. But if one does not care to listen to his instructions, the result will be that one will never go back to Godhead, but he will continue life in this miserable condition of repeated birth and death in material existence. Mrityu samsara vartmani.
Thank you. What are the points here?
So we have to be very sincere to this future master.
Yes.
Otherwise, we cannot go back.
Yeah, so in Grihastha life, you can either go up or you can go down. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is not static, it is ecstatic. So the nature of the soul is that it is always moving. You can only progress or regress in spiritual life. You can't stay in one place. So either we're going forward in our spiritual life or sometimes we're dropping back. But if one takes shelter of a spiritual master within this lifetime, then one will gradually progress further and further and further towards Krishna. So in Grihastha life, you become, in all ashrams, but especially it's being said in Grihastha life, you make advancement only when you take shelter of a spiritual master. Because the nature of Grihastha life is very entangling. And unless you have someone to guide you out of the entanglement or the forest of material enjoyment, then you will stay stuck in that forest. In the fifth canto, there is one chapter where we hear about the forest of material enjoyment in the teachings of Jadbharata. And it explains that Grihastha life is like going into the forest. Once you're in the forest, unless you have a guide to take you out, then you'll be lost for a long time. Just like a new Nandagram at Hare Krishna Valley many years ago, there's one devotee, his name is Prana Prabhu. You know Prana? He comes here sometimes. He used to be the teacher at the Gurukul there. He's been the headmaster in the Auckland Gurukul for many years, like that.
Yeah.
So he went to chant his japa. You know the forest is there next to the temple building? You go into the forest for a japa walk sometimes. So he went there at 5 o'clock in the morning. He walked in there in his gumboots with his japa mala, chanting. And he came out 13 hours later, 3 kilometers down the road, because he got lost in the forest. So he went in there, and by the time he came out 13 hours later, he had blisters on the back of his feet because he'd been wearing his gumboots walking for 13 hours. He was lost like that. So in the material world, Grihastha life is like being lost in the forest. And unless you have a guide who can take you out, then you'll stay trapped. So Grihastha life, it is essential to follow very strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. Otherwise, you will stay in the forest of material enjoyment. Any points? Look. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot wheels. And the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantra, pranab, is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow. And the target is the supreme being. So we'll read the second paragraph. So Manoj, can you read the second?
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the words bow and arrow are used in this world, one might argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his Kaitalya's pleasure. Shivalya's pleasure. For example, the Lord fought with Bhishma, and when Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this was a kind of humor or relationship of which there are 12. When the conditioned soul tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow at him, the Lord takes pleasure, and the living entity gains the profit of going back home back to Godhead. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as a result of piercing the Adhara Mina, or the fish within the chakra, achieve the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if with the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord, one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home back to God.
Is there any points? So it is said just like a warrior, he has the bow and the arrow, and he has to pierce the target perfectly. So the example is given in the Mahabharata, that Arjuna was being trained, along with all the other Kauravas and the Pandavas, by Dronacharya. And the famous pastime is there that the mechanical bird was put into the branches of the tree. And Drona tested everyone, Yudhisthira, Duryodhana, all the other 99 brothers and the four other Pandavas. And he said, "What do you see?" And they said, "We see the bird, we see you." They said, "Put down your bow." Finally, he got to Arjuna and he said, "Aim at the bird." He said, "What do you see?" He said, I see the bird." He said, "What else do you see?" He said, "I see nothing but the bird." He said, "Describe the bird." He said, "I only see the eye of the bird." So he said, "Release your arrow." So then he shot into the eye of the bird. Ekeha kuru nandana. In spiritual life, one has to be perfectly focused on the goal. And the goal is Krishna. So we have to be focused, just like the archer is focusing his arrow on the target. So in spiritual life, we have to stay completely focused on Krishna. Don't allow yourself to be distracted, because the nature of the material world is there are always distractions. Spiritual life means we'll always be distracted. There are so many things which take our mind off or take our mind away from Krishna. But a devotee, even though the mind sometimes gets distracted, he has to bring it back again and again. Krishna describes this in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He said, by abhyas and vairagya, by constant practice, wherever the mind goes, you bring it back. And refocus it on Krishna. And practice vairagya, detachment from other things. And in this way, you'll learn to conquer the mind and you'll attain Krishna. So grihastha life is very distracting. You have to learn to become focused. Become an expert hunter. Any points? In the conditional stage, one's conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All of these are enemies. Sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. So, Mahatma Prabhu?
The actual aim of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, but there are many hindrances created by three modes of material nature. Sometimes by a combination of Rajogun and Tamogun, the modes of passion and ignorance, and sometimes by the mode of goodness. In the material world, even if one is a philanthropist, a nationalist, and a good man according to materialist estimations, these conceptions of life form a hindrance to spiritual advancement. How much more of the hindrance than our hostility, greed, illusion, lamentation, and too much attachment to material enjoyment. To progress towards the target of Vishnu, which is our real self-interest, one must become very powerful in conquering these various hindrances or enemies. In other words, one should not be attached to being a good man or a bad man in this material world. In this material world, so-called goodness and badness are the same because they consist of three modes of material nature. One must transcend this material nature. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies consist of three modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna advised Arjuna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nishchaya Gunyo Bhavajana Nirdvandho Nitya Satyastha Nirogya Shreyam Atman. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them, be free from all duality and from all anxiety for gain and safety, and be established in the self. Bhagavad Gita 2.4. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, for the one gacchanti satyastha, if one becomes a very good person, in other words, if one is in the mode of goodness, he may be elevated to higher planetary systems. Similarly, if one is infected by Rajogun and Tamogun, he may remain in this world or go down to the animal kingdom. But all of these situations are hindrances on the path of spiritual salvation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahman Bhamite on Bhagivan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Lata Ji. If one is fortunate enough to transcend all this so-called goodness and badness and come to the platform of devotional service, by the mercy of Krishna and the Guru, his life becomes successful. In this regard, one must be very bold so that he can conquer these enemies of Krishna consciousness. Not caring for the good and bad of the material world, one must boldly propagate Krishna consciousness.
So, any points?
In Bhagavad Gita, Rasa said to Arjuna, to stop the sexual life, is that we have to tolerate everything. And then, advancing spiritual.
That means transcend the three modes of material nature, follow the instructions of with your master and do pure devotional service, and you are guaranteed to go ahead.
Any other points? So, there are so many obstacles which are put on our path in the material world from the three modes of material nature. So there are inauspicious obstacles from the mode of passion and ignorance. And there are auspicious obstacles from the mode of goodness. So all of these obstacles, we have to remove them and stay focused on our target, which is Krishna. So in spiritual life, one has to learn to remove the obstacles. And the obstacles, they come in our way. No, but Radhanath Swami gives an example, just like you're in the river. So as you're going down the river, you're floating down, then you continuously hit the rocks in the river. But you have to learn how to navigate them. Sometimes you hit them and then you have to go around them, or go over them or work your way. So material world means that you will be hurt. Because constantly as you're going down the river, you hit the rocks. And after you hit the rocks, then you'll go off and then you'll go down further and then you'll hit another rock and then you have to go over. You have to navigate the course gradually. So that is the nature of the material world. But we have to stay fixed on our target. So the material world gives us so many obstacles from all of the different modes of material nature. It tries to distract us with good things and also with negative things. But a devotee, he learns not to be distracted by anything, but just stay fixed on Krishna. Any points?
Any example of obstacle?
Any example? Yeah, many examples. Prabhupada says in the purport. Things in the mode of goodness means like philanthropy, means you're doing charity and good works and helping all the people and joining the Salvation Army and the Red Cross.
So how will it obstruct?
How will it obstruct? Because it's not pure devotional service.
But if we are thinking about
those
and doing
it. Yeah, but then why don't you go and work for Hare Krishna Food for Life? Or not that so. Don't become distracted. Any other points? Good example. Okay. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. Janeshwar, do you like to respond?
in Bhagavad Gita 4 chapter 9 verse 9 Jamma kama chumedi yam yam yogi tishatata Chakpa deyam puna jamma inki nam kiti so arjuna One who knows the transcendental nature of my feelings and activities that not found in the body takes his birth again in this material world but attains my personal world, O Arjuna This is the highest perfection of life and the human body is meant for this purpose It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam Yudeham Adhyam Surabham Sudurabham Praslavam Sukalpam Guru Karna Garamana Maya Nukulena Namha Swade Vidham Kuman Bhavad Bhavadhyam Yatare Saatmaha This human form of body is the most valuable world and the spiritual master is the captain Guru Karna Garamana To guide the boat keep dying because we can be flying across the ocean of Nessia. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of Nessia. If the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The significant word here is Achyuta Vala. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples and consequently by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Ladavi, one must first please the spiritual master and then one automatically please Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of Nessia. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough to buy, enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy and one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general, warfare, one must take up help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemy, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, so long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely, going back home and to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma Bhuta, as God says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Sasya Chaitanya Prakashite, Sama Sarvesu Bhuteshu Madbhakti Labhadeva. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of Bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yamat nischasmi prabhada. Tatomam padapodho jnanapa. Vitta vishateta anantam. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service, the mercy of the Supreme Master of Krishna, there is possibility that one may fall down and again accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Jarma Karma Chamayadimyam, Yehun Yorpeyati Tatvadaha, Yatvadeham Punar Jarma, Naitimam Vethi Sivarishma. One who knows the transcendental nature of my experience and activities, does not upon this body, takes his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode for Jarma. The word Tatvadaha, meaning, is reality. Is very important. Tatomam tatpado jnatma. Unless one understands Krishna in truth by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to leave this material body. As it is said, Aruhi Kachena Parampadam, Tata, Tatanti Rasalo, Nadar Thai Esmar, Angra, Angra. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material pleasure simply by knowledge. Even if one attains the stage of Brahmapadam, merging into Brahma, without bhakti, he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful of in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure to fall, too sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with a bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Krishna. Significant in this verse are the words Janasim Achyuta Bala. Janasim, the sword, Jnanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna, in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instruction, Balarama gives one strength. Balarama is Nityananda. Rajendra Nandana A. Sachisuta Haida. Haida said, Balarama Haida Nitai. This Balarama comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papitapi Yata Chiva Hari Name Udharina. Their weapon is Sankirtana, Harinama. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balarama. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balarama in Vrindavana. In the Mandaka Upanishad, he said, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo Nacha Pramada Pramada Tapaso Vati Alinga Yetaye Upaye Yete Yetate Yestu Vidvams Tasyai Atma Nishate Brahma Dhamma. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balarama. Sri Narottam Das Thakura therefore says, Netayera Karuna Abe Praje Radha Krishna Abe. When one receives the mercy of Lord Balarama Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha Krishna very easily. Se Sambandha Ne Yara Vrata Janma Gela Tara Vitya Kule He Kalibe Tara. If one has no connection with Nitai Balarama, then even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani, one has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help you. You must therefore transfer the enemies of Krishna consciousness to the strength of strength received from Balarama.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. What are the points?
Srila Prabhupada has described in the further the verse of 4-9 twice. It means if we want to progress in spiritual life and we want to go back to Godhead, we have to know Krishna's activities and his birth and his activities. They are very perfect. And to know this, we need the mercy of Krishna and as well as Balarama. And to get the mercy of Krishna, you have to follow the instructions of our spiritual master very sincerely and thoroughly. Then we will please Krishna. And if Krishna and the spiritual master and Lord Krishna is pleased, then we will get the mercy of Lord Balarama with him. And by his mercy, we will know Krishna and Radharani very easily, otherwise we won't know. So what we have to do is to first serve our spiritual master very sincerely, then we will get the mercy of Krishna. And by these two people's mercy, then we will get the mercy of Balarama, and then they could only begin to go back.
Perfect. Any other points?
Kaafi kaafi yata kila hari naam hai udhari. He said, Jwala, they have come here to just give us the mercy and take us back to God. We have to follow their instructions through our spiritual master.
So this is the process which is given in the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada said that the songs of the Vaishnavacharyas, like Narottama Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, are even more important than the Vedic literatures, because they distill or extract the essence of the Vedas. So in the purports of the songs of Narottama Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the previous Acharyas, we will find the essential teachings of the Vedas. So the essential teachings of the Vedas is that Krishna and Balaram have incarnated in the age of Kali as Shishigaura Nitai. So these two deities that are here in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, personally installed by Srila Prabhupada, are none different from Gaura Nitai and Krishna and Balaram, Jagannath and Balaram. So these are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to realize Krishna, one needs the mercy of spiritual master, of Balaram. In order to realize Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya, you need the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So by serving our spiritual master, who is Shakshat Hari, who is the empowered representative of Lord Nityananda, then gradually we can understand the glories of Nityananda Prabhu. By understanding his glories, we can understand the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by gradually understanding the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can understand the combined form of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is the system. To become perfect in Krishna consciousness, one needs to serve the spiritual master sincerely, and this will lead to ultimate realization of Radha and Krishna. Any points?
Yes, your Guru gives the importance of Guru and the Guru Sattva. So, as a purpose of achieving, how do we understand Lord Nityananda's position? And this is given as his paramount, Lord Balaramudu, Lord Nityananda. So, given the instruction of the spiritual master can be taken very directly. So, and we get the mercy of his spiritual master, then only we can understand the Paramahamsa. We can even understand the spiritual master if we don't please devotees also.
Any other points?
Well, in previous words, the two obstacles of hunger and sleep which you described.
Of what?
Hunger and sleep. So hunger and sleep for the purpose of maintenance of the body cannot be considered as much.
Yeah, well, you could say sleeping too much or eating too much or like that. So you have to tolerate a little like that. You have to reduce these things to make advancement in spiritual life. So. As much as is practical. No, you have to take enough rest, you have to eat properly like that. So. Because, you know, Prabhupada was asked, how much should we sleep? So, in the Gita he says, if you sleep more than 6 hours, then you're in the mode of ignorance. I sleep more than 6 hours every day. so I'm in the mode of ignorance. But if you look at all of Prabhupada's instructions on sleep, Prabhupada's basic instruction was sleep as much as you need to do your service. So Prabhupada said if you're doing like physical labor like on the farms or working hard, then you may need 8 hours sleep. But if you're doing less physical work, then you may only need 6 hours sleep. So sleep as little as you can to do your service. And eat as little as you can to do your service. Practically so. Any other points?
So what I understand is that if the the sincerity follows the instructions of our Guru Maharaj, then the knowledge will be revealed from Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? And by and after that, by knowledge will be progress more, then we will get the mercy of the knowledge and
yeah, by serving Guru, then you get realization about Lord Nityananda.
So, which one will come first?
First you serve Guru.
Yeah, but the knowledge will come from Krishna.
Yeah, okay, it comes from Nityananda Prabhu.
Yeah.
By serving Guru, you get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu.
Yeah.
By serving Nityananda Prabhu, you get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you get the mercy of Radha Krishna.
Right.
So that is the order.
Okay.
Has to be Guru, Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya.
Mercy from Nityananda Prabhu, and then the mercy of
Lord Chaitanya.
Lord Chaitanya, and then
Radha Balabha. So if you go to the temple, first you offer obeisances to Prabhupada, then Nityananda Prabhu, then Lord Chaitanya, then Radha Krishna.
Yes.
Well, that's all. Okay. Otherwise, if one does not take shelter of Achyuta and Baladev, then the senses, acting as the horses and the intelligent acting as the driver, both being prone to material contamination, inattentively bring the body, which acts as the chariot, to the path of sense gratification. When one is thus attracted again by the rogues of Vishaya, eating, sleeping and mating, the horses and chariot driver are thrown into the blinding dark well of material existence, and one is again put into a dangerous and extremely fearful situation of repeated birth and death. So once again, it is mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, take shelter of Achyuta and Baladev. So Prabhupada is in the purport. In Kali Yuga, you take shelter of Gaura and Nittai. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj says, just like when you go to a kingdom, you leave one kingdom and you enter into the next kingdom, then you sing the praises of the glory of the king of that particular country. So he says that in Kali Yuga, because we're living in Kali Yuga, and the Yuga avatar is Gauranga, then we sing the praises of Gauranga more than Krishna. Because we're in Kali Yuga. In Dwapara Yuga, you sing Krishna's glories more. But in Kali Yuga, you sing Gauranga's glories more. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you dive deep into the ocean of the pastimes of Gauranga, you will come up on the shore of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, we take shelter of Gaur Nittai, because they do not consider offences. And in Kali Yuga, we commit lots of offences. So we need shelter of Patita Pavana, Gaurahari, of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And they will deliver us to the shelter of Krishna and Balaram, or Radha and Krishna. By worshipping Mayapur, then you will realize Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you go to Vrindavan prematurely, your rasa, or your attachment to understanding Krishna's pastimes, will turn into virasa. Will turn into mundane sex attachment. So therefore he says that if you chant the Maha Mantra for a very short time in Navadvipa and Mayapur, automatically you will realize Vrindavan. That is the system in Kali Yuga. We take shelter of Mayapur first, then Vrindavan. Or we take shelter of Gaur Nittai, then Radha Krishna. If you try to approach Radha Krishna or Vrindavan directly, you have to be very qualified. We'll keep going because we have many verses we have to read. According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desire. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement, but by nivritti activities, one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy eternal, blissful life. So, the Vedas speak about pravritti marg. Pravritti marg means regulated sense enjoyment, which will gradually elevate you to higher planets like swaga, to enjoy more sense gratification. Nivritti marg means the path of detachment. So as grihasthas, we are meant to practice nivritti marg, not pravritti marg. Not that we're just doing Vedic rituals so we can improve our next life in the material world, but we do devotional service so we can cease having another life in the material world, so we can stop birth and death once and for all. So we're interested in following nivritti marg, not the pravritti marg. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices known as Agnihotra Yajna, Darsha Yajna, Purnamasa Yajna, Chaturmasya Yajna, Pashu Yajna, and Soma Yajna are all symptomized by the killing of animals and the burning of many valuables, especially food grains, all for the fulfillment of material desires and the creation of anxiety. Performing such sacrifices, worshipping Vaishwadev, and performing the ceremony of Baliharana, which all supposedly constitute the goal of life, as well as constructing temples for demigods, building resting houses and gardens, digging wells for the distribution of water, establishing booths for the distribution of food, and performing activities for public welfare, these are all symptomized by attachment to material desires. My dear King Yudhishthira, when oblations of ghee and food, grains like barley and sesame are offered in sacrifice, they turn into celestial smoke, which carries one to successively higher planetary systems like the kingdoms of Duma, Ratri, Krishnapaksha, Dakshinam, and ultimately the moon. Then, however, the performers of sacrifice descend again to earth to become herbs, creepers, vegetables, and food grains. These are eaten by different living entities and turned to semen, which is injected into female bodies. Thus one takes birth again and again. So, whichever position we are in this material world, we have to learn to serve Krishna. So whether you are a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, sannyasi, or a grihastha, you must learn to serve Krishna as your life and soul. That is the purpose of Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram means we should be serving Krishna 100%, as much as possible. We are not in Grihastha Ashram simply to enjoy life and to raise our opportunities and possibilities to enjoy more in the next life. The purpose of Grihastha Ashram is just to serve Krishna and to go back home, back to Godhead. A twice born Brahmana, Dwija, gains his life by the grace of his parents through the process of purification known as Garbhadan. There are also other processes of purification until the end of life, when the funeral ceremony, Antyeshti Kriya, is performed. Thus, in due course, a qualified Brahmana becomes uninterested in materialistic activities and sacrifices, but he offers the sensual sacrifices in full knowledge into the working senses, which are illuminated by the fire of knowledge. The mind is always agitated by waves of acceptance and rejection. Therefore, all the activities of the senses should be offered into the mind, which should be offered into one's words. Then one's words should be offered into the aggregate of all alphabets, which should be offered into the concise form Omkar. Omkar should be offered into the point Bindu, Bindu into the vibration of sound, and that vibration into the life air. Then the living entity who is all that remains should be placed in Brahman and the Supreme. This is the process of sacrifice.
How can Sister Marcia Aguna be an entity?
What is it?
No, she's saying in the previous, she said, even Chapter Marcia Aguna is involved in making it. I don't think it works.
Yeah, there must be some part of the Jagya where animals are sacrificed.
In Chapter Marcia Aguna, you have to avoid eating something.
Yeah, but there must be more elaborate parts to the Jagya. So it says here that the mind is always agitated by acceptance and
rejection.
That is the principle of the mind. So the Bhakti Yoga process is meant to conquer the mind, bring the mind under control. Krishna says, Mamana Bhava Ma Bhakto, think of me. So very soon on Saturday we begin Kartik Mas. So why are we doing Kartik Mas? Why will we follow this brat for 1 month? To learn to fix the mind on Krishna. We need to learn to control our mind. This is the Bhakti Yoga process. The Bhakti Yoga process means the mind must become fixed on Krishna. You have to overcome the tendency of the mind to accept and reject material things and simply focus on Krishna. So that is the only goal of our life. So in Kartik, we take extra time to do extra sadhana and to increase the quality and the focus of our sadhana so that our mind becomes more perfectly fixed upon Krishna. That is the goal of our life. On his path of ascent, the progressive living entity enters the different worlds of fire, the sun, the day, the end of the day, the bright fortnight, the full moon, the passing of the sun in the north, along with their presiding demigods. When he enters Brahmaloka, he enjoys life for many millions of years, and finally, his material designation comes to an end. He then comes to a subtle designation from which he attains the causal designation, witnessing all previous states. Upon the annihilation of this causal state, he attains his pure state, in which he identifies with the super soul. In this way, the living entity becomes transcendental. So the gradual path of liberation is that we gradually ascend through the different planets of this universe to Brahmaloka. And from Brahmaloka, then we can go back to the spiritual world. This takes many, many lifetimes. Or the other process of perfection is you stay here on earth in Kali Yuga for one lifetime, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, take shelter of Gaur Nitai, and go back home, back to Godhead. These are the two processes. You can stay on earth and do everything in one lifetime in Kali Yuga, or you can take many lifetimes and go to Brahma Loka. So it is up to you. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we can go back to the spiritual world in this lifetime, if you are serious. This gradual process of elevation for self-realization is meant for those who are truly aware of the absolute truth. After repeated birth on this path, which is known as Devajnana, one attains these consecutive stages. One who is completely free from all material desires, being situated in the self, need not traverse the path of repeated birth and death. Even though situated in a material body, one who is fully aware of the paths known as Pitriyan and Deviyan, and who thus opens his eyes in terms of Vedic knowledge, is never bewildered in this material world. He who exists internally and externally, at the beginning and end of everything and of all living beings, as that which is enjoyable and as the enjoyer of everything superior and inferior, is the supreme truth. He always exists as knowledge and the object of knowledge as expression and the object of understanding as darkness and as light. Thus he, the Supreme Lord, is everything. Although one may consider the reflection of the sun from a mirror to be false, it has factual existence. Accordingly, to improve by speculative knowledge that there is no reality would be extremely difficult. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the philosophy of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is based upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam's philosophy is achincha, beda, beda, tattva. One who understands this understands everything. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Veda Sara. It is the essence of the Vedas. It is the absolute truth. Because it gives the most complete philosophy of the absolute truth. Whereas the impersonalistic conception is just a partial understanding of the absolute truth. And it cannot stand before the achincha beta beta tattva philosophy. This is the highest understanding of God and God's creation. This is only understood by those who are students of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They are the topmost scholars. Although one may consider the reflection, we just read that, right? In this world, there are five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, but the body is not a reflection of them, nor a combination or transformation of them. Because the body and its ingredients are neither distinct nor amalgamated, all such theories are insubstantial. Because the body is formed of the five elements, it cannot exist without the subtle sense objects. Therefore, since the body is false, the sense objects are also naturally false or temporary. So this is perfect knowledge. This is Divya Gyan. Divya Gyana Hride Prakashito. Now, when the heart becomes illuminated by this knowledge, one understands that the material world is false. And the material world is temporary. And one does not delight in the pleasures of the material world, but understands they are limited, they are temporary. And real life is to be experienced in Goloka Vrindavan in the service of Radha and Krishna and Gauri Nitai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night we'll have an overview of chapters 11 to 15, the final Varnashram section of the 7th canto. Next Tuesday we will have the closed book exam beginning at 7 o'clock here in the theatre. On Monday night, next Monday, we will have a final class on the final 20 verses of the 7th canto. And please finish your fees, any fees which need to be paid for this year, please pay them. And any open book exams or oral presentations, even though they're late, if you want them marked, you should hand them in as soon as you can. Srila Prabhupada ki.